God promised Abraham that his descendants would be a great nation. God made that promise, and God kept his word. He caused these people to grow, from a handful of individuals to literally millions. He also gave them a special law, a law that we know of as the Law of Moses. This was a religious law, and it was also a civil law. So in giving them this special law, he gave them a form of government. He gave them a system of government. God also gave them land to dwell in. We know that this was the promised land, the land of Canaan. Now, with all these, they had and they were a nation, and not just any nation, but the chosen and the specially favored nation of God, the nation that the Messiah came through. But there are two things about this great nation of Israel that we need to remember. First of all, the promise that God made to these people about the land was a conditional promise. The promise about the land had conditions. And the conditions were, if you keep my word, God said, you can keep the land. If you forget my word and you disobey my word, you will lose the land. And we know that what happened, of course, was that they disobeyed God and they lost the land and they lost the right to the promised land. In the second place, we need to remember that all of this was temporary. I'm talking about the fact that this was a special nation, the fact that they had a special law, and the fact that they were given special land. All of that was temporary. God promised a king and a kingdom greater than anything that they had ever had. And once that kingdom came, all this was done away. So here are the facts. God gave Israel land, but they lost it because of their sin. Number two, the law of Moses was temporary. The Bible says that in many different places. One of the most clear places is in Galatians chapter 3. Number three, the church is the kingdom that God promised. The kingdom that God was promising to the Jewish people in the Old Testament that was in their future was not an earthly kingdom because Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." John 18, verse 36. And the New Testament tells us that there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles today. The scriptures tell us in Matthew 21, verse 43, that God took the kingdom from the Jews because of their disobedience, because of their rejection of God, and finally, their rejection of Jesus Christ. God took the kingdom from them. In Matthew 21, 43, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." So Matthew 21, verse 43 is a really important passage when you hear people talking about Israel today. There are many people that will tell you today that the Israelite people, the Jewish people, are still God's chosen people. They will take passages like Genesis 12, verse 3, where God said that he was going to protect the Israelite people, and so whoever supports Israel is going to be blessed by God, and whoever opposes Israel is going to be cursed by God. And so they try to make those passages mean today that unless you support Israel in a national sense, then you're going against the Bible. One famous preacher years ago said that whoever stands against Israel stands against God, and there are many other preachers who are saying similar things in our time. Well, folks, the Bible just does not teach that idea. The Bible does not teach that the Israelite people are favored by God in a special sense today like they were in the Old Testament, and they are not the chosen people of God today like they were in the Old Testament. And furthermore, the promises that God made to them have already been fulfilled, and there's nothing in the future that God owes the Israelite people. He fulfilled the physical part of the promises that he made in the Old Testament to Israel by giving them land, by giving them many people, and by giving them a law to govern their nation. And he has already fulfilled the spiritual aspect of those promises by sending the Messiah and setting up the kingdom, which is the church. God has fulfilled his promises, and God is fulfilling his promises to the Jewish people and to the Gentile people as well. In Acts chapter 10, we find that Peter is called by God to go to the house of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was a Gentile, and Peter knew that. God sends him special visions to convince him and to persuade him to go to the house of a Gentile. Now, I want you to notice what Peter says after he's finally convinced that it's all right for him to go to the house of a Gentile person. Remember that there was a tremendous wall between the Jews and the Gentiles at this point. The Jews didn't have anything to do with the Gentiles, especially in the sense of associating and especially in the sense of fellowshipping those people. Now notice in Acts chapter 10, verse 28, after Peter with some other Jews go into the house of this Gentile man, and these other Gentiles are there as well, notice in verse 28 of Acts 10 that Peter said unto them, "You know how that it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Now notice what Peter said in verse 34 and verse 35. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Now to be a respecter of persons is to be partial. What he's saying about God here is that God is not partial. "Of a truth I perceive that God is not partial or no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him." Peter said it doesn't make any difference if you're of the house of the Israelite people, of the nation of the Jews, or whether you're of another nation. In every nation, in any nation, he that fears God and works righteousness is accepted of him. So in Acts 10, 34 and 35, Peter shows that the Jews and the Gentiles are on the same level. Now then, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And the interesting thing about the book of Ephesians is that this letter or epistle is about the church. And beginning in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, he talks about how that the Jews and the Gentiles are now one in the church. They're on the same level. The Jews are not any different from the Gentiles. The wall has been broken down between them, and they are joined with one another in the body of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, verse 11, "Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you, that is you Gentile Christians, who sometimes, that is in the past, were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now notice in particular what he's going to tell us in verse 14, 15, and 16. In verse 14 he says, "For he is our peace, who has made both one." Both what? Or both who? Well, he's talking about both Jews and Gentiles. Jesus has made both Jews and Gentiles one. He has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Well, what was the middle wall that kept them separated? What is this middle wall of partition that kept the Jews and the Gentiles separated? Well, if we keep reading in verse 15, he tells us, "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances." The law of Moses. The law of Moses, you see, kept the Jews and the Gentiles separated because the law of Moses was for the Jews. It was not for the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles could convert to Judaism, and there were Gentiles that did convert to the Jewish way of life and the Jewish nation. So they placed themselves under the umbrella of the Jewish system. But they weren't required to do that. It was not necessary for them to do that. They were under the moral law that Paul talks about in Romans 2, 14 and 15. But in the New Testament system, in the church, the Jews and the Gentiles have been made one. That's because this wall has been torn down. That's the middle wall of partition that he talks about here in Ephesians 2, verses 14 and 15. Once the law of Moses was taken out of the way, you see, and the law of Christ was put in place, once the New Testament was put in place, then the Jews and the Gentiles both became Christians in the same way. They were under the same law, in the same church, under the same Lord, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Ephesians 2, 14 and 15, Paul said the middle wall of partition has been broken down so that Jesus would make in himself of twain, that is two, Jews and Gentiles, one new man, so making peace, and in verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now, if you want to read a great commentary on what we've just looked at, you just keep reading in Ephesians chapter 2 and go all the way down through at least Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. But if you really want to get the picture, just read through the end of chapter 3 because he unfolds what he's talking about here. But I do want to look at something else with you. It's a passage in the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter. I want you to notice what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice what he says in verse 9. You are a holy nation. Now, who is he talking to here? He's not talking to the unbelieving Jews, and he's not talking simply to the Jewish Christians. He's talking to the church. He's talking to Christians in general, and he says that Christians, the body of Christ, the church, the kingdom of heaven today, is the special holy nation of God. Remember, the Bible says that a true Jew is a Jew inwardly, spiritually. Romans 2, 28 and 29. Remember also that the Bible says that the church is the Israel of God today, Galatians 6, verse 16. And remember, finally, that the Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 29, that the true descendants or seed of Abraham are Christian people, people who have been baptized into Jesus Christ.